Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
Today is the Lesser Super Tuesday. 6 states go to the polls. Will Joe Biden end it today once and for all? Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Facebook.com/Zeoli Show, where you can weigh in. Our question today, what is your favorite song to wash your hands to? This after our Entercom corporate overlords posted song suggestions throughout the company today for you to sing along to as you wash your hands. Welcome back to the show. 855-839-1210. But the big story of the day today, brought to you by Wawa, is that, yes, it is, in fact, another election day. It is the second Super Tuesday, the lesser of the two, but still a big one. And it could be the death knell for Bernie Sanders' campaign, or he may just keep going all the way to the convention. The question, of course, is how bad will Bernie do in Michigan, a state that once was his, once what he did really well in? Or maybe he will surprise everybody and do really well in Michigan. I haven't followed closely enough to predict, but it seems like from people who have been following closely, Joe Biden's going to have a good day. And like I said, this is sponsored by Wawa. Any two Wawa Sizzlies, now $4 from Applewood Smoked Bacon, a savory sausage. Grab any two delicious Sizzlies you crave. It's Sizzly time, and breakfast is better than ever. Two Sizzlies are $4. Gotta have a Wawa. And thanks to Wawa for their amazing support of the Liberty USO last week at our Liberty USO Radiothon, where we raised, thanks to your generosity, over $156,000 last week, which is fantastic. So Bernie was asked the question about whether or not he closed the border to deal with the COVID-19 outbreak, and he said no, he would not. Remember, that's the first thing the president did back in January. He took several steps, including, number one, it was to form this task force to deal with it. This is January of 2020. Statement from the press secretary regarding the president's coronavirus task force. And the president announced the formation of the coronavirus task force in January. Members of the task force met on a daily basis to come up with ideas and recommendations, led by the HHS secretary, Alex Azar, coordinated with the National Security Council to deal with the coronavirus. The president's top priority is the health and welfare of the American people. That's why in 2018, President Trump signed the National Biodefense Strategy, which improves speed of action in situations such as this. And that's important to understand, right? Because there's this myth going out there today that the president thinks this is a hoax. He never said it was a hoax. He doesn't think it's a hoax. He has been trying since January to make sure people don't get sick from this thing, from shutting down travel from China. And by the way, the reason why the travel ban has not been extended to other places is that it won't matter anymore. That's the reality. That's the truth. I mean, I hate to say that, but that the reality is that since it's here now and it's here in enough cases that it's just going to spread naturally by itself, because that's what viruses do. Another travel ban doesn't do anything. You only keep a travel ban. The purpose of a travel ban is to stop something from being introduced into the population. But once it's introduced into the population, it kind of becomes ineffective. But in January, because I've had that question too, why don't we just shut down all air travel? Well, you could, but then, of course, the economic impacts of that could be far worse than any potential sick people coming here. You want to talk about really causing the stock market to crash. You suspend international travel in and out of the United States of America, and you know that's not going to be good for world markets. But the president did stop travel from not all of China, but from the parts of China where the outbreak was happening in January, had this task force together. And yet the myth perpetuates that he thinks this virus is a hoax. He never said it was a hoax. He said the media's coverage of his response to it is a hoax. That's a huge difference, by the way. And he never said people should go to work when they're sick. And the president did compare this virus to the flu in the sense that when you think about, and which I don't think, by the way, the two are the same. And I for one, don't like the comparison because I think it's important to realize that everything needs to be dealt with on its own merits. And yesterday was a good day because he came out and talked about what he wanted to do to deal with this. And that's what a lot of people were waiting to hear from. And you're going to see a good day on the market in response to this. Now, yesterday in the market, they were also dealing with the Saudi Arabia and Russia oil fight. But the leadership that was shown last night was also what the market's looking for. Decisive action and assurances by the administration that anything that happens in the economy will be taken care of, that they'll try to make sure that the economy is okay based on a series of packages they can introduce and give to the American public. They give the Congress to, you know, potentially approve. Now, that's important to understand, right? Because when the president talks about having certain things at his disposal, like, for example, the ability for people to make sure that they wind up getting sick pay if they don't have any sick pay, for example, that's important. That's very important. And also the idea that they could have a temporary payroll tax cut, also very important as well. Short-term economic steps to make sure that there's not an economic collapse. And look, I'm not a big fan of bailing out industries, and I'm not doing other things like that. I just sent you guys a clip, by the way. But sometimes the assurance that stuff could happen is all they need to hear about, and then the private sector can do its own thing. They just know that there's kind of a safety net there, and then they can go ahead and do their own thing. And they heard that last night, and that's also very, very important. The president and Vice President Mike Pence came out last night and addressed everybody with the Corona Task Force, which, again, was formed back in January. And again, you know, I for one, don't think all of his tweets are helpful. I never think all of his tweets are helpful. I've been telling him this since 2015. But he is who he is, and he's not going to change. And I've lost that battle, as others have too, and that's just what it is. And it's pointless for me to go on the radio and talk about why doesn't he stop tweeting, because I know the answer firsthand. So it's like a dumb topic. It's like one of those just repetitive topics. This is who he is. It's who he is. And I, for one, think, as I've told him before, it doesn't help him sometimes. But he disagrees with me. And you don't need to tell me why he's right and I'm wrong. And it's okay. It's fine. The purpose of an advisor is to advise. Always the candidate, the president, will make his own decision. It's his race. It's his administration. It's his leadership. But advisors have to do their job and advise. That's how it works. And sometimes the advice is good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's heated. Sometimes it's not. That's how it works. But this is what the president said yesterday.
We are going to be asking tomorrow. We're seeing the Senate. We're going to be meeting with House Republicans, Mitch McConnell, everybody, and discussing a possible payroll tax cut or relief, substantial relief, very substantial relief. That's a big number. We're also going to be talking about hourly wage earners getting help so that they can be in a position where they're not going to ever miss a paycheck. We're going to be working with companies and small companies, large companies, a lot of companies, so that they don't get penalized for something that's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not our country's fault. This was something that we were thrown into, and we're going to handle it, and we have been handling it very well. The big decision was early when we shut down our borders. We're the first ones ever to do that. We've never done that in our country before. We would have a situation that would be a lot more dire.
The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, had kind words for the president and vice president. He was asked about the administration's handling of coronavirus and cruise ships. Cut three.
Over the past couple of days, President Trump has said that he would prefer if none of the passengers aboard these cruises landed on U.S. soil. Did he mention any of that to you in your conversation?
Yeah, we had a private conversation, but he said we're going to do the right thing, and you have my support, all of our support, logistically and otherwise. So before he made those statements publicly, I had a private conversation with him around 4:30 West Coast time, and he said everything that I could have hoped for. And we had a very long conversation. And every single thing he said, they followed through on. So I'm just not interested in finding daylight on those statements, because every single thing his administration, and it starts at the top, including the vice president, has been consistent with the expectation that we'd repatriate these passengers and we do it in a way that does justice to the spirit that defines the best of our country and the state of California.
Boom! That's Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom, by the way. The ex-husband of Kimberly Guilfoyle, who, of course, as you know, is now the de facto daughter-in-law of the president. She and Don Jr., of course, very, very close. Not married, but that's why I said de facto, but honorary daughter-in-law. That's Gavin Newsom, Democrat, shattering the narrative that the president is not helping, not taking it seriously, not trying to do everything he can. And he even said, I'm not interested in the nonsense, you know, the narrative right there. It's always awkward, that moment when a Democrat governor shatters that narrative that the president is not helping, right? Especially a state that the president has no chance of winning, California. I mean, like, let's be honest. But he's doing it. And this is the reason why, because it's really important that you have to push back on this myth that the president thinks this whole thing is a hoax. If he thought it was a hoax, why would he start this task force in January? If he thought it was a hoax, why would he put this travel ban in for China? If he thought it was a hoax, why would he be helping Gavin Newsom deal with this and this ship in California? Why? Why would he do those things? Because he doesn't think it's a hoax. He's taking it seriously. He's taking it seriously so that it won't become a big thing. You know, and that's a key point on this. It's like, people keep saying, you know, why the panic over this? There shouldn't be panic, but you should take the steps to make sure you don't get it so that it doesn't spread. Because if you can keep something from spreading, you should do it, right? I mean, that's just common sense. 101, common sense. And if we can do everything we possibly can to make sure it doesn't spread, great. Now, this is Bernie Sanders claiming that the Trump administration suggested that only the rich will get... only the rich will get vaccinated against the coronavirus. Cut four.
Goes without saying that the United States must work with scientists around the world to aggressively develop a vaccine for the coronavirus. The Trump administration has suggested, as some of you know, that the vaccine might be too costly for some people to afford. How vulgar, obscene is that idea? That you're rich, you can get the vaccine. You're poor, you can't get the vaccine. You're going to die, you're going to live, so that the drug companies can make their outrageous profits not acceptable to the American people. When that vaccine is developed, and it must be developed as quickly as we can, working with folks all over the world, obviously, it should be made free to every person in this country, and in fact, every person in the world.
And who pays for it, though, is the question, right? Does the government pay for it? Does your insurance company pay for it? Do you pay for it? How does it work? But again, Bernie wants to use every chance he gets to divide people over this. Now, somebody thinks on Twitter, Bose thinks that I called him a nice guy. No, I said he wants to be Mr. Nice Guy. He can't criticize these dictators like Fidel, but he wants to be Mr. Nice Guy to his opponents all the time. But he has no problem being mean and vicious to Trump and Trump people and Trump supporters. None whatsoever. He has no problem about that. He just won't engage against personal attacks against his own opponents. Bernie was asked the question of whether or not he would have shut down travel to the United States amid the coronavirus outbreak. Remember, the president shut down the travel to and from China back in January, which a lot of people say was incredibly effective in keeping the virus out of the population before we had a chance to do anything about it, before we had a chance to make people aware and take protective action to make sure people don't get sick. Cut 7C.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No. I mean, what you don't want to do right now, we have a president who has propagated xenophobic anti-immigrant sentiment.
Stop it right there. See, now this is exactly what happened yesterday. A caller called the show and started accusing the president of not doing enough to deal with the coronavirus, right? And I said, when he shut the border down in January to China, because the guy was going on yesterday in the call about how he should have stopped travel from Italy. He should have stopped travel from everywhere. He should have had, remember, if you were listening to the show, it was around this time yesterday. You probably remember that call. And I said, you would be the first person to call the president xenophobic and racist and using the virus as an excuse to shut down travel, to keep out brown people and Asian people. When the president shut down travel from China in January, there were people in the media and others calling him xenophobic and racist. Now he's being criticized for not shutting down travel from other countries around the world, for not doing more, not shutting down all the airports, not grounding international air travel. It's like whatever he does, it's not good enough. And by the way, there's no way you could have done anything to keep this virus from coming here. It's inevitable. I'm sorry, but it's inevitable. All you can do is do your best to contain it. It's inevitable that in the day and age of air travel, a virus is going to get here. You just do your best to make sure it doesn't become a major problem. That's just reality in this day and age in which we live. But he put in the travel ban back in January. What does Bernie Sanders say when asked about a travel ban? No, because it's xenophobic and racist. Think about that. It does exactly what I said to you yesterday. No matter what the president tries to do on this stuff, they turn around and say it's not enough, or what he does do is racist and xenophobic. The guy can't win. Look, he has not handled this perfectly by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, he's done a lot. He's done everything he could do. I know somebody who I talked to in the medical profession who said that there is nothing that President Trump has done that has gotten in the way in any way, shape, or form, or failed to do what they need. All of the issues that occur happen through the bureaucracy of the CDC, HHS, and from forming the coronavirus task force in January to the travel ban, those are some of the most basic, logical, early steps that could happen, right? The president's words matter in these situations, and that's why I liked what I heard from him last night in terms of the sounding of the leadership of this, because the markets want to hear that, companies want to hear that, people want to hear that in these times of crisis. It's very important. But in terms of his action, you heard Gavin Newsom praise him. But the reality is that if the president shut down the borders all across the border, you would have heard more of this crap like what Bernie Sanders is saying. Go ahead, Greg.
No. I mean, what you don't want to do right now, we have a president who has propagated xenophobic anti-immigrant sentiment from before he was elected. What we need to do is have the scientists take a hard look at what we need to do. There are communities where the virus is spreading. What does that mean? It may mean self-quarantining. It may be not having public assemblies. But let's not go back to the same old thing. Isn't it interesting that a president who has been demagoguing and demonizing immigrants, the first thing that he could think about is closing down the border? So we need scientists to tell us the appropriate approach, not a political approach.
Okay, let's.
Now, you know, the MIT Technology Review, scientists, MIT, right, came out and said the best thing that could happen was the travel ban, not only what China did by limiting people to and from the Wuhan province, but also from the United States, not letting people from that province come to America. It slowed the spread of the virus. But think about it. I mean, if that is what is the most logical step, like if tomorrow an outbreak of something came in Mexico and the president said we're shutting the southern border, he would not be allowed to do it because they would say it's xenophobic and racist, and he's just using it as an opportunity to get his wall built. And then if it did come to the United States of America, they turn around and go, he didn't do enough. He didn't take it seriously. He thinks it's a hoax. That's it in a nutshell right there. What Bernie said, that's it in a nutshell right there. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Fox News' Martha McCallum got booed. Now, did Bernie defend her is my question. She got booed for defending Americans who like their health care plan.
He did not. I will say this. The last time Bernie did a town hall with Martha and Brett Bear, he was very ornery with him. I think he may have been listening to our show because he was a lot more respectful this time than
was he really?
Last time. Yes.
Oh, very interesting.
So I'm just wondering why somebody was in his ear saying, hey, you know, you were a little hard on them last
you
time.
You sound like a sexist jerk.
You sound like a sexist jerk.
Right.
Yes. That's the, you know, like,
so this was a kinder, gentler Bernie Sanders last night?
Yes, because if anybody in his campaign would Google Bernie Sanders sexism, the first thing that comes up is the Rich Zeoli show.
Are you serious?
Yes. So
amazing.
I'm just saying that maybe somebody in his campaign.
Maybe.
Somebody in his campaign.
100% listen to all the bits on sexist megaphone
totally.
Bernie.
Yes.
And that's the women's vote is critical this time. Martha is a very popular, you know, she's very popular, very well liked. Mom, you know, suburban moms like her. So,
well, we
Jersey
have,
girl.
We have that montage.
Jersey girl.
We have that montage that we play that very famously features her in it.
Yes.
Hold on one sec.
Let me just say this. It was as we're doing nonstop talk and not going anywhere.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
There was such a great demand for the Megaphone Bernie shirt, the official Megaphone Bernie shirt from the Zeoli Army USO Radiothon on Friday. And I think a big part of that is the fact that a lot of people think that Bernie Sanders' campaign might be coming to an end.
Yes.
And which means that Megaphone Bernie might be coming to an end. But fear not. What? Yesterday, the corporate shill Greg Stocker came in here and counted the number of batteries I need for my megaphone. And they were able to get the approval of the $4.92 required to buy me new batteries for my megaphone. In other words, Megaphone Bernie is not going anywhere.
No.
He will continue to be our featured political correspondent throughout the 2020 campaign.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who the nominee is. If it's him, you know, we can just go inside his head. Or if it's Biden, we can, you know, he can comment on it. It doesn't matter who the nominee
is. It does not matter who the nominee is.
I just want to make sure that Megaphone Bernie gets a livable wage for doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Great point.
Sideline
reporting. It's a great point.
Great point. Yeah. Since we don't, he should.
Yeah.
So this is, and what do you want to do first with this?
So I would just like to set the stage because, as we were saying, it was a kinder, gentler Bernie Sanders in the Fox News town hall debate. And I'm thinking that somebody from his campaign may have tipped him off that he's being mocked in Philadelphia for this. This montage that we have put together that features Martha McCallum.
You know,
excuse me, I'm talking.
Let him sprung.
Why?
No,
why
I don't
is
think.
It, why
well,
is
first
it the
of all,
best plan
hold
for
it, hold
America
it, hold
when
it.
A majority? Hold on, I asked the questions here.
He wasn't touting
that's
relations.
My view on her.
His point
I'm
was.
Okay, ma'am, I'm sorry. If you disagree with me, that's fine. That's my view. Oh, really? I didn't know that. I thought I ran all over the country into Nevada and everybody else working as hard as I humanly could to see that Hillary Clinton was elected president of the United States.
Nominee.
But if you're not, you stayed in last time. And some people say Hillary Clinton's candidacy.
Well, no.
How do you justify it? And
all right, Martha, what are you not including in your discussion?
You tell me.
I will tell you. Why are you so shocked by this?
Because someone's going to pay.
Somebody is going to
pay.
Who
are they? Who
okay.
Pays?
Okay. One second.
Okay.
Relax. We'll be talking.
Please.
We'll get through this
it's
together.
It's a common question.
Okay.
We had,
okay.
We had so many email questions.
Okay.
Ask Senator Sanders how he is
fair
going
enough.
To pay.
I got it.
I got it. Blondie. I got it. All right.
Oh boy.
What are you not getting with your blonde hair and whatnot?
No, no.
So after Googling sexist Bernie Sanders and the Rich Zeoli show comes up with our bits on Megaphone sexist Bernie.
Yep.
The word got back to the candidate saying you better kind of tone it down here a little bit, boss.
If right now you're the average worker, and if I said to that worker that I can provide better health care for substantially less, but you'll have to pay more in taxes. I admit it. Okay? So let's say you pay $1,200, $2,000 more in taxes for comprehensive health care, but you're not paying $12,000 in premiums, co-payments, and out-of-pocket expenses. Who has the better deal?
Well, that may be true for the $12,000 a year person. For the $30,000 or $40,000 a year per person who likes the health plan they have from their employer, there's 180 million Americans who have coverage that they like, but you're going to take that away from them.
No. First of all,
nope.
It's 150 million, and this is what we're doing. Every year, do you know how many people lose their health insurance every year? Because they lose their job or they transfer or whatever may happen, they quit.
Definitely.
Very
about
nice.
50 million people a year lose their health insurance. That's true, okay?
It's very...
Martha, what the song do you like to wash your hands to?
He didn't raise his voice once.
No, it was very nice.
It's very nice.
If they figured out, have the crowd boo, and then he can stay Mr. Nice Guy. That's what happened there.
Wow.
That's amazing right there. He's changed. He's totally changed.
Yeah.
This is the kinder, gentler Megaphone Bernie. Truly something right there. Yes.
Martha.
Martha. Let's put on a little Barry White let's talk about my plan. Long, detailed conversation. All right? Me and you. We'll wash our hands, do a little Barry White. Sound good? Okay.
Practice what you preach.
See that?
Very
sexy Bernie.
Baby, I can't get enough of your love, baby. Turn the water on, wash, repeat, rinse. You liking this? That's Bernie. He's trying to change. Might be too late, though. Might be a little too late. At this point now, he's just become who he is. So he is who he is. Now, AOC, his first original
hottie.
Young socialist hottie was at the rally last night for Bernie, yelling away against all the people that they hate. A lot of bigs in here. Big this, big that. Take a listen. Cut 14.
Michigan, we have Goliaths in our country today. The Goliath of the fossil fuel industry.
Evil.
The Goliath of big pharma.
Evil.
The Goliath of the role of big money in politics. These are powerful, powerful forces. And we are David. We are David. David, all of us,
let's get the lesson
guys,
here. Go ahead.
What David had to do before he confronted Goliath was to shed his unnecessary clothes. This is something that Jackson discussed in his speech.
Now, is she going to get naked up there?
He did have a couple topless protesters, right. So maybe, you
is
know.
She, is she just robing as she does this right now? What's going on out there? What's going on? I told you, and I don't want to get my heart racing.
What David had to do before he confronted Goliath was to shed his unnecessary clothes.
Oh, Andrew.
This is something that Jackson discussed in his speech. And I want us to recognize this moment that we're in on the eve of Tuesday, what we have to shed in order to grow. Because in order for us to grow, well, rather, in order for us to win, we have to grow.
Okay.
We have to grow. We must be inclusive.
By the way, I have a question. As she bashes Big Pharma, aren't we praying that Big Pharma comes up with a cure to the coronavirus as quickly as possible? A vaccine, right?
Absolutely.
And like, don't we all hope that evil Big Pharma can quickly find a vaccine for this thing?
Yes. And they're not moving fast enough, right?
Yeah. Evil Big Pharma is not moving fast enough. And then when they finally get it, it's just because they want to make money. It's like, Big Pharma can't win either. You know what I mean? It's either they're evil and they're big and they're super, or they're taking too long to get the vaccine, or they get the vaccine and not everybody can get it. They're too expensive.
Come up with this. Oh, and by the way, it has to be free.
Yeah, we all hate you and you're evil, but please save the world. Oh, and by the way, it has to be free. You can't make any money on it.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, now as the election gets closer and closer today on this mini Super Tuesday, the Lesser Tuesday, I should remind you that in the middle of all this, of course, are workers who are concerned about losing their jobs. Not only because of an economic slowdown, potentially because of the coronavirus, or because of externalities. In 2016, Bernie Sanders did very well with workers, not so much this time around. My thinking on this is because Bernie has embraced all the kooky Green New Deal nonsense, which workers know will cost them their jobs. And by bringing up that young socialist hottie, AOC, it reminds workers that she puts things like the Green New Deal over their job. Bernie's campaign went from talking to workers in 2016 to talking at them in 2020 and telling them how they're going to lose their jobs, whether they work in fossil fuels, whether they work in coal, natural gas, and on and on. And that's the problem for Bernie this go around. More than anything has been that. In 2016, he appealed to a lot of workers. In 2020, not so much. And all the Karl Marx rhetoric that he throws out there doesn't change the fact that Bernie would side with the wacko environmentalists versus the people that are fighting for their jobs. And they know that. And that's why having AOC out there is such a mistake for him, because she represents the embodiment of that, the embodiment of that. Of course, with the coronavirus, there are some good things that happen. There's some opportunities right there. There's always opportunities in life. For example, if you do make Purell, the company that makes Purell, their stock is doing great right now. I read a story about how the hand sanitizer company, their stock is up right now because there's been so much demand for Purell. Their stock has risen 13% year to date. 13% year to date. Clorox, which produces bleach and 409 other cleaners, has also seen big stock increases as well. And whenever there is a crisis, there's always an opportunity, obviously. And that's why some companies will do better and some companies will do worse. And we don't know if the active ingredient Purell is really going to stop the spread of the coronavirus or not, but it certainly makes people feel better. And if you can't get to a sink and soap and water, it's the best thing you can do in the meantime, right? That's why it's hard to find. The truth is that the reason why I defend price gouging, even though it sounds awful with the word gouging, is because just because there's a potential crisis doesn't mean we should all become socialists. Capitalism always works to provide the most opportunity for people to get what they need in life, meaning that when prices rise in response to an overwhelming consumer demand for something, it's done. The market does this, the invisible hand, so that there's enough supply. That's the purpose of why prices rise in accordance with demand, because there's enough supply for everybody. Otherwise, one person can buy all of it, and then you can't get your hands on bleach. You can't get your hands on Purell, because one person went in there and said, I'm buying all of it because it's cheap enough for me to buy all of it. Versus if the price rose in accordance with the demand, then it would level off in terms of how many things people would buy. People might buy two. If it's $40 for a thing of bleach, you might buy one or two versus 10, and stockpiling, meaning somebody else can't get theirs. So I defend price gouging, even though it sounds mean, it sounds awful, it sounds evil. But capitalism, because suddenly we all sound like socialists in these matters, because we all go, it's evil to raise prices on things when people need them. Is it? Or is it more evil when somebody goes in the store and they're wiped out of a product because somebody went in there and bought it when it was really, really cheap? I don't know. All I'm saying is, the reaction always from people like Andrew Cuomo and Phil Murphy is to come down hard on companies that raise their prices too much during a crisis. So when they sign these states of emergencies, what they're really doing is they're giving the state the ability to start fining retailers who raise the price of gasoline or Purell or food or anything else that people might need in a critical emergency. The problem is if those products then cannot, the price of those products cannot rise in accordance with the demand, there will be no supply. And that is the fact. That is an economic reality. As mean as it is, it's reality. But that never stops the Democrats from trying to do it. They do it all the time. This is Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey announcing yesterday the state of emergency. Take a listen.
Now, I know the words state of emergency can be jarring, but for the overwhelming majority of New Jerseyans,
this guy sounds like a jackrabbit. Does he not, Dawn? Like, he sounds like they gave the guy like a Red Bull or a Jolt before they sent him out there, right? I know it's jarring. Like, he's like a little chihuahua. He really is.
You love this guy.
This guy, my governor, Phil Murphy. All right, go ahead.
Now, I know the words state of emergency can be jarring, but for the overwhelming majority of New Jerseyans, this declaration will have no immediate impact on daily life. New Jerseyans can still move around freely in the state and go to work and school in accordance with employer and school district guidance. I urge everyone to remain calm and measured and keep doing
the
little
you
things
calm
you
down?
Can do.
Why don't you be the first one to calm down, Governor?
And keep doing the little things you could do to protect yourself against illness. Wash your hands frequently with soap and water. Cover your cough and sneeze.
You know what? Do I need this jerk telling me how to wash my hands? I'm a grown man. Is that why I have a governor of a state to tell me how to wash my freaking hands?
Everybody becomes, now everybody's like a kindergarten teacher. Now
right.
Wash your hands
yeah.
With soap and water.
With soap and water. Wash your hands.
Sing.
Sing a song. 20 seconds. They should put state-mandated timers, bathroom timers in all the bathrooms. Just stand there and time everybody when they wash their hands. It's like me with Patrick in the bathroom, but he's a child and I'm a grown man. Everybody becomes, that's what I mean. In a crisis, we all become socialist kindergartners. We want price controls. We want the government protecting us from evil capitalists. And we want the government telling us how long to wash our freaking hands.
Nap time's next.
And yeah, right, nap time. Take a nap. Although that would actually
yeah, gotten, I was just going to say.
I'm at, well, you know, that, yeah. So there's always a bright side of things. Let's have more of New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy telling you, a grown adult, what you can do to stay safe.
And keep doing the little things you could do to protect yourself against illness. Wash your hands frequently with soap and water. Cover your cough and sneeze. Avoid touching your face. If you don't feel well, stay home from school or work. We know we don't have all the answers, but we are now on a proper footing to ensure that our response is more capable of adjusting as this outbreak continues. We have to get through this together as one New Jersey family. So continue to be smart and proactive in your own preparedness and safety, and we'll be right there alongside of you.
That is the most dysfunctional family in America.
I was going to say.
The one New Jersey family.
Oofa.
Talk about how dysfunctional that is.
Yeah.
But I'll see your wacky New Jersey. We're going to get through this, New Jersey. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Soap and water. Don't you love the way he says that like he's never been said before? Use soap and water. Oh, water? I thought I just used soap. I'm walking around with all this soap on my hands.
And keep doing the little things you could do to protect yourself against illness. Wash your hands frequently with soap and water.
And cover water. Your cough. Oh, and water? Oh, that's what I've been doing wrong this whole time. I've been washing my hands with soap and no water. This whole time, I'm covered in soap. I'm like Soap Man. Bubbles all over me.
If he's good, I think he should do I think we should do this with Zioli and put and just show. You know, if somebody's going to say this, we should have a video and show Zioli. You know, I want it washing because it's the friction.
It's the friction.
See, always and he didn't mention the friction.
Yeah. You know, he didn't mention the friction. He didn't mention how long we have to do it for, too.
See,
I'm walking around all this soap. Nobody told me water, New Jersey. The water gets the soap off, New Jersey. I didn't know. A jerk. But I'll see your jerky New Jersey governor, and I'll raise you the jerky governor of New York. Now, for this, it's a much different approach. This is much more of a, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You do it, or else.
All right? This is...
And Andrew Cuomo doesn't like the fact that all these private companies make hand sanitizer. Nah. He wants to make sure that he makes his own hand sanitizer. Okay. The guy who named the bridge after his dad now wants to make his own hand sanitizer. Yes, Greg.
Actually, can we play the clip that we played yesterday just to set the stage for price gouging and hand sanitizer?
Yes, please.
Set that up.
We have reports of stores selling hand sanitizer for $80 a bottle. It is not worth it to the store owner. You can lose your license, and we are very serious about this. For the few dollars that you're going to make during this situation, it's not worth your while.
I'm just saying, it's not worth it. I can make it worth it, but it's not worth it right now. But I could make it worth it if you know what I mean. So then in response to the private sector having the audacity to raise their prices commensurate with the demand to ensure adequate supply as per Econ 101, the governor has said, your hand sanitizer was never that great. I'll make my own.
We are introducing New York State Clean hand sanitizer made conveniently by the state of New York. This is a superior product to products.
He's like an infomercial. He's like the ShamWow guy right now.
He should be on QVC.
Right?
Right there.
Italy. If you call now, I'll give you two New York cleans and I'll throw in a mop. But you gotta act now. This won't be around forever. I'll put your shipping and handling's extra. Pay separate shipping and handling. New York Clean beats ShamWow any day of the week.
And he's doing the hand movements like he's like Vanna White or he's QVC.
Because you know, he's Italian. He can't help himself. He's like, this is superior clean. Look at this. Uh-oh. Act now. I'll throw in 12 steak knives. Finest steak knives made also right here in New York.
It only gets better.
Oh, go ahead.
This is a superior product to products now on the market.
Purell stinks, is what I'm trying to say. This New York Clean, so much better than that Purell. That's like my brother, that Purell.
No, it's
this
awesome.
That's the Lesser sanitizer. This sanitizer is amazing.
For Christ.
The World Health Organization, CDC, all those people suggest 60% alcohol content.
This is 100% alcohol. It's pure bathtub New York moonshine. 100%. And if things don't work out with this virus, drink it.
No, I don't know.
It also doubles as New York moonshine. Act now. I'll throw in a jug of it along with New York maple syrup. $24.99 plus shipping and handling. The governor of New York is doing a freaking late night hand sanitizer infomercial.
Purell competitor to New York State Clean.
No. You're a competitor to Purell, dummy. They're the ones selling this in the private sector. You're the state of New York. They're not a competitor to New York Clean. You're a competitor to the free market by making a product. Are you the governor of New York or are you the head of New York Clean? I'm trying to understand what this is. What is happening right now? We have a virus and everybody loses their friggin' minds? You know, I like this job better. I think I'll do both. Fire the New York Clean guy. I'm doing that too now.
Purell, competitor to New York State Clean. 70% alcohol. This is 75%.
Mine is 240% alcohol. There's so much alcohol in this, it'll kill a human being if you take enough of it. It'll kill everything. Everything.
It also has a, comes in a variety of sizes. It has a.
Is this, stop. This isn't real. This is not real.
100% this is real.
Oh my God. I got flavors. I got peppermint.
No, really.
Spearmint. No.
He does.
Act now. I'll give you the variety pack. Black cherry. Fruit flavors or whatnot. Oh, my. This is the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, now shilling his New York Clean hand sanitizer.
It also has a, comes in a variety of sizes. It has a very nice floral bouquet. Little I detect a lilac, hydrangea, tulip stems. Yes.
Stop. This is not real.
This is.
Yes. I'm being punked here.
No, he's got video. This is 100% real.
Greg has the video, right?
This has got. I couldn't make this up any better. No. I could not script this better.
No.
Lilac, a daffodil, and what is that now? Is that a hydrangea? Look at that. Eh? And
it's beautiful.
And he's like all made up. He's got makeup on.
Oh, my God.
The governor.
This is the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, doing a late night infomercial with his New York Clean.
With the lilac scent.
Look at that. Is that a hint of hibiscus? I get a little hibiscus there.
Oh, my
you
God.
You smell that? Smell that. A little hibiscus. I mean, honestly, if we had scripted this in a production studio, we could never have outdone this guy.
Nope.
Okay, keep going.
Floral bouquet. Little I detect a lilac. Hydrangea.
God,
tulips.
Please, I hope President Trump goes after him for this.
Tulips, yes.
The floral one thing I could tell you is that you're never going to see Donald Trump going, is that, excuse me, tulips? Is that tulips? excuse me, tulips? What? This is unbelievable to me. I got tulips, hydrangeas, I got a basil, lemon rosemary basil thing too. You can make a cocktail with this. Put it in a little club soda ice, whatnot.
Act now.
Their hand sanitizer comes in one flavor. Mine, 72 flavors. I'm like the Baskin Robbins of hand sanitizer. keep going, please. This is amazing.
Making it in the state of New York. The also to Purell and Mr. Amazon and Mr. eBay, if you continue the price gouging, we will introduce our product, which is superior to your product, and you don't even have the floral bouquet. So stop price gouging.
This is like The Godfather Part 4.
The floral bouquet.
Listen, here's the deal. You sell yours at a price I don't like, I sell mine. All right? And then I make your product go away, and only my product with the floral bouquet is sold. Got it? Capiche? This is literally watching The Godfather Part 4 play out right now.
Yep.
The governor of New York.
This is a gift.
So, Mr. eBay, Mr. Amazon, not for nothing. I'll be happy to put out my far superior New York product with a floral bouquet and whatnot. And also raid you with the New York State Police. So, do we have an understanding? I'm literally speechless right now.
Yep.
Nobody
can speak.
If I didn't see the video right here with Greg, I would think you guys were playing me. Like this was a spoof.
We also have dark chocolate, milk chocolate, and chocolate peanut butter flavor too. I particularly like that one.
Very lovely.
Now let me say this to Mr. Bleach. Mr. Bleach, you know exactly what I'll do to your son, your whole family. You continue to sell your bleach Far Superior, New York, clean. I keep going. Is there more? There's more of this, right?
We will introduce our product, which is superior to your product, and you don't even have the floral bouquet. So stop price gouging. This is also much less expensive than anything government could buy. Just to give you an idea, a gallon bottle is $6.10. The 7 ounce
but
bottle.
But now I'll give you for five. Keep going here. Five. This is great.
Is $1.12 our cost, and then there's a very small size. Here it is, which is 84 cents. So it's much cheaper for us to make it ourselves than to buy it on the open market.
He's making the prisoners of New York make it.
Yes.
Because he's the warden from Shawshank. He's got side deals going on. He said the warden from Shawshank now. He's making the prisoners make the Purell that his far superior product with floral bouquets and whatnot. Now you get all of them. The big, the little, the lesser one, all of them in a combination platter. And also an I Love New York t-shirt. I Heart New York. I'll throw that all in there. $42.99 plus shipping. And let me say right now to Mr. Clean, that bald son of a gun. You know who I mean. Hey, Baldy, I'm coming for you. Keep price gouging. All right, then. Well, that is the governor of New York State, everybody. Governor of New Jersey teaching us how to wash our hands like we're seven, and the governor of New York thinking that this is his opportunity to make money. This is his time to make the racket.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Our product is a far superior product. Theirs is 60 to 70% alcohol. Mine is 110% alcohol. Pure moonshine. Also comes in a variety of colors.
No, I don't.
This is the new rainbow hibiscus lemon rosemary mint. Far superior. So, Mr. Pledge, just saying. It's like Reservoir Dogs. Mr. Clean, Mr. Bleach, Mr. eBay, Mr. Amazon. All right, Dawn.
So in the news, I've been talking a lot about the local stats, and I've been giving you those all morning. So I want to jump to a follow-up on what Zeoli has been saying. By the way, we have 54 degrees warming up to 67 today. But in fact, I have a follow-up on this Cuomo situation because there is a prison reform group lashing out this morning at Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York because they claim that he's using prison workers as basically slave labor to produce hand sanitizer and make that beautiful bouquet.
I got to read a tweet. Here. Hang on a second. This is from Louis Suave on Twitter. Yeah. You tell that Mr. Amazon I ain't no band leader. All right? Oh, this is amazing.
So this Legal Aid Society is condemning Cuomo for, quote, exploiting incarcerated New Yorkers to produce cheap hand sanitizers. And they say, quote, this is nothing less than slave labor. It must end now.
Oh,
and
my God.
They're saying that he's like a big business guy forcing the labor of incarcerated individuals, many minorities, for pennies on the dollar for a political purpose to line his own pockets.
Yeah.
And they say that that he has to immediately make sure that these workers, that they should receive pay.
He's not even hiding the fact that, and Mr. Clean, I said we would divide the five counties in New York. You'd have your side, but apparently it doesn't work for you. So now I'm taking the whole state.
So, I don't know.
Stereotypes are...
it's like he's making that.
Yes,
I can't, like...
100%.
He's literally making every Italian-American in the country cringe right now by this behavior.
Well, yeah.
I got two words from Mr. eBay. Not for nothing.
Oh, my God.
This is... You can't make this up.
So they're outraged. They should be, because the prisoners are being used as free labor, as slaves.
Yes. They say Cuomo's new Corecraft COVID-19 branded hands. He has a branded, all the sizes, the bouquet. So they say this is produced by the people who are incarcerated in New York City. And that they claim that, look, that they're making a profit for pennies on the dollar, and that this is slave labor. This is racist. It's terrible. This is a legal aid society that's saying this is part of the whole criminal justice reform situation.
Yeah, so while the president on the federal level is signing the First Step Act to let him out of prison, Cuomo's keeping him in longer to make his New York clean, far superior product. We're going to end parole during this crisis so I have enough people to make New York clean. A far superior product.
We also have a warning from Tito's Vodka, which says this has gone viral. Do not make hand sanitizer with Tito's under any circumstance. They quote the CDC saying hand sanitizer needs to contain at least 60% alcohol, as we learned from Governor Cuomo. His apparently has, 65%.
75.
Well, yes. Yeah, so, okay. Woof. So it's way over the CDC limit. But Tito's handmade vodka is 40% alcohol, Tito's tweeted out. Therefore, does not meet the current recommendation of the CDC. They said, moral of the story, Tito's vodka is for drinking, not washing your hands.
On that note, I'd like to announce New York vodka.
Oh, no.
A far superior product. Our vodka is 150 proof. Far superior. And I'm just saying to Mr. Tito, not for nothing, stay in Brooklyn or else.
The forecast from NBC 10 First Alert Weather, 67 degrees today, 30% chance of rain, gusty winds tomorrow and Thursday, hovering around 60 degrees, partly sunny weather. Reporting from Radio.com World Headquarters, Dawn Stensland, CLE Show News.
I'm really, this is, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say right now. I really don't.
Because the other thing is, he kind of used his state job, right? If they're really going to sue or something, because he held a news conference.
Yeah.
So he had the captive media, free media, to do that QVC Vanna White demonstration of the different sizes.
Now, listen, this one has a pump feature. Let's see here. Okay. Let's see here. Let's some reaction. We had great reactions, by the way. Great reactions from people. I don't even keep up. Amy wants to know if the governor is going to shave his head and do like a gold hoop earring, like Mr. Clean, and put his own face on the bottle.
That's coming
next. How you doing? You know? Greg, can you cue up the You've Been With Me thing? Can you cue that up for me? We the people here. I disappoint him. You disappoint. Who says tweets must be productive? Which tweets of the president weren't productive? Smells of politically correct thinking. Okay. Sorry to disappoint you. But you see, like I said, sometimes advisors give advice what's in the best interest of the candidate. I'm sorry if that offends you, but my job was to help him win, not to make sure that you like his engaging tweets. Sorry about that. But if you think I'm politically correct thinking, I have this to say to you.
You've been with me from the beginning, and I will never forget it.
All right. So go ahead and tweet. We're all real impressed with you, big guy. All right.
And to the tweeter who might be new to the Zioli audience, do they know that that's the president saying that to Rich Zioli at the president's invitation? You were in the Oval Office.
Thank you, Dawn, for saying that. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Thank you. I thank you for saying that because that's exactly what happened.
They might not know that.
They may not know that. So now you know. All right.
Now you know.
All right. There you go.
Even Don Jr. was joking about his dad's tweets.
Yeah, look, I told you it's no secret that he took some of my advice and changed tweets, which I think has done tremendously well for him. That's why he and Rand Paul are such buddies now. And there are other times I got dirty looks. That's part of the job. Like, I mean, what's the big, like, am I supposed to be like some sort of a sheep that goes, bah, everything is great? Like, why have a debate coach? Why have anybody around you then at that point? I don't get it. It's bizarre to me. I've never been able to figure that out. But listen, I got two things to say, all right? Lemon Joy flavor. I can't get over this governor. I mean, the people of New York now feel like this guy is an absolute jacket. Look at what New York has right now. You got Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York. You got Governor Cuomo, the governor of New York. This is their AOC is the congresswoman there. Chuck Schumer threatened Supreme Court justices. The whole thing is like it's like a Brian De Palma movie.
Yes. Well, it's like a Jersey reality show.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I'm just like, it's like you have Chuck Schumer, the senator, out there going, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, we're going to kick your ass. And you got this governor out there going after Mr. Clean with his New York Clean. What is this state? What is happening with this state? No wonder why we don't live there. By the way, Greg, I will never do a morning show in New York, just so you know. I would never say never.
Never say,
I would do it, but it'd have to be for a lot of money. Like going on a cruise ship. Okay. I would do it for a lot of money.
We could use that as a negotiating tool.
Just a negotiating tactic.
Yes, you know, never say you would never do it.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. No, you're right.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Clean, from what I understand, you're not getting the message. So let me be very, very clear. All Mr. Clean bottles will suddenly have to be, fall off a truck, if you know what I mean. 855-839-1210. This is an amazing, amazing day here. Really, truly amazing. All right. More to get to. It's the lesser Super Tuesday today. The stock futures are up after the president's comments last night. I thought he did, as I mentioned to you, a great job earlier showing that leadership, which is what the country wants to see in these times like this. It's very important to do so.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.